Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm with the Diocese of Kalamazoo. I'm a deacon at the Catholic Church in Matawan at St. Margaret Mary's in Marcellus, as well as Pawpaw, St. Mary's in Pawpaw. And we're going to be reading some scripture readings today that are being read at Catholic Mass throughout the world, and most especially right here locally. Also want to keep in mind that if you'd like to listen to other Catholic radio programs, there's Catholic radio right here in the Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, and also in the Grand Rapids area. In Kalamazoo, it's 91.5 FM. In the Battle Creek area, it's 89.7. And in the Grand Rapids area, AM 1140. And that's holyfamilyradio.net. And also to keep in mind, too, to write this down, too. This is the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. And a lot of great information on there of, you know, how to come back into the church if you've been away from the church for a while and you don't know whether you can come back or not, or, you know, or you can always call me or drop me a line, or I'm always happy to meet with people. As I'm sure that all the religious, you know, priests and deacons are happy to meet with people to answer questions, you know, whether you've been divorced or remarried or divorced and you're single. There's lots of ways to come back into the church to be able to receive all the sacraments with sometimes all it is just simply a matter of going to reconciliation. You know, talking about the, you know, being away for a while and preparing yourself to receive the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, and of course the greatest sacrament of all, to receive the Eucharist, to receive Holy Communion. So that's what this radio program is about. We call it the Epiphany Radio Program because it really is kind of a nice bridge between the Church of the East and the West, and how that is slowly coming together too. That these two great churches, and Pope Francis has done a great job with leading that and bringing things together, as well as all the popes from the past have worked hard on that as well. But the scripture readings we're going to read today, the first reading is from the Book of Wisdom. And for many of you who may not have the Book of Wisdom, if you've got a King James Version Bible or something like that, may not have the Book of Wisdom in there. So I suggest that you get a good Catholic Bible in most of the bookstores, or you can go to the Catholic Information Center downtown Kalamazoo. They've got Catholic Bibles. And so there's these extra wisdom books that are in the Catholic Bible that are not in the King James Version. Unless you've got a really old version of the King James Bible, they're not in there. So these the books are 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, the Book of Wisdom, which we'll be reading from today, Tobit, Judith, and parts of Esther. So New Testaments between are basically the same, except you'll have different, sometimes a little different narration or a little different commentary from a Protestant Bible to a Catholic Bible. But, you know, if you really enjoy the Word of God, if that is a big part of your spirituality, a big part of your life, if you go to a Bible church or something, you know, it would be a good idea to get one, even a Douay Rheims Bible, which is one that I really enjoy, which is really kind of the those and thous. Sometimes people don't like to hear that or hear the old English language. But the biggest word that it has in there that really attracts me to it is the word grace. You know, so many times this word favor has entered in into some of these newer Bibles, and both Catholic and Protestant, King James Bible Church Bibles. Really this kind of exclusive, inclusive language. You know, these words matter, right? It's the Word of God, so words really do matter. So enough of that, and let's go straight to the Book of Wisdom. So it's the Book of Wisdom, chapter 9, 13 through 18. Here we go. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things of the earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or who ever knew the counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. Just beautiful, beautiful reading there from the Book of Wisdom. Kind of a funny thing, you know, we were talking about the Douay Rheims Bible, and in the Douay Rheims Bible, the word Holy Spirit is capitalized. See? So really, God, right? And in some of the newer versions of the Bible, it's not capitalized. The word's Holy Spirit. And of course, that's part of the Trinity, right? So we see this, how things, these translations do matter, right? So here we go. And the next reading, the second reading, is from the book of Philemon. So it's just a one-page book in the New Testament. And this is what Paul has to say. Philemon, this is Philemon 9, chapter 9, 10, 12 through 17. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, those whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a brother. Beloved, especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading. So a lot of these readings, we'll see how these are developing. We'll go back to them and talk about each one of these. But a big part of this is about discipleship. A big part of what we're going to talk about and what the scriptures are talking about are pointing towards discipleship and what my level of discipleship is. So let's go on to the gospel. And the gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, 25 through 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to address them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, this one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether, with 10,000 troops, he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, Any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings here, and I'll kind of get right into this on what the church is teaching right from the beginning here, from the gospel, really talking about total commitment, right? And how much of a total commitment we make in our life with Christ. And we see so many times, you know, in different churches, and even in the Catholic Church too, as well, you know, is what is my level of commitment? What is my level of discipleship? And of course, I think the greatest level of discipleship would be to become an ordained priest. Many would say that also the greatest thing of total discipleship too would be to become a mother and father and carry that on all through your life. There's many forms of great discipleship and doing the will of God. But what is my level of my will? See? My will or God's will. You know, I thought to myself also, you know, we write down the letter I. And if you have a chance to do that, write down the letter I. And see whether that letter is a capital letter or a lowercase letter. Kind of like this word Holy Spirit, right? From our first reading, the Book of Wisdom. Where do I gain my wisdom from? And we've been speaking about this the last few weeks, about these different wisdom books, the Book of Sirach, the Book of Wisdom, and some of these other, the wisdom books that are in Scripture, and where they're pointing us. What's this all about? How is God talking to me? Do I listen to God? And, you know, we have these two voices that are going on. We have the voice of good and we have the voice of evil. Both speaking to us and us making those choices. And it's kind of interesting that I picked this letter I, but this first reading is really about idolatry. Okay? And some people, even people who do not know the Catholic Church, people who don't understand the Catholic Church, will say that, "Oh, you Catholics, you're worshiping idols. You've got statues in your churches." And I always remind them of a funny story of Fatima. He says, if you go down to Notre Dame, you can see our, you know, they have the children, and they're looking up at the Blessed Mother Mary. And I say to him, I says, "Well, you know, us Catholics, we have our statues, worship statues. They're just images, just like a photograph. There's something that we of remembrance, something of honor. Same way when you go to a park, you know, and you see a soldier or someone, people who have died in wars. These are things of honor. This is not idolatry. We do not worship statues. We worship God and God alone." And it's silliness, and it's really quite a heavy sadness that I have towards others who would say that we are some type of idolatry because we have pictures or statues that remind us, holy reminders, that remind us of these things. And it's quite interesting because we can become idolatrous in our thinking. You ever think about that? And in a certain kind of way, when you think that, you know, this religion or that religion or somehow your religion is better than the other person's religion because somehow you're smarter or you have more information or you have a better conscious contact with God, right? You have a special gift or something that's been given to you by God to discriminate against other religions. Believe me, that's not God talking to you. That's the other team. That's the bad guy talking to you. And what they're talking about is this in this very first reading. They're talking about this, that when we when we start to think of ourselves, and the church puts it this way in the catechism, in the Catholic Catechism, it says, these empty idols, their worshipers are also empty. Those who make them are like them. And so are all those who trust in them. So our own thoughts, in a certain kind of way, become our idols. I'm better. I'm better than you. I'm better than the Catholic Church. They don't know what they're doing. I'm smarter. I've become enlightened. And see, what you have become is you have capitalized that I. Idol. Self. Me. I am the capital letter, not God. Me. I am the one. I am the smart one. And so what happens is we become our own idol within our own minds and our own selves. And so what God tells us in this is it says, for the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. Idolatry within our own minds, adoring ourselves, thinking we're the most important, and we're not. We're not. Most important thing is that we worship God and God alone. So let's go to our second reading, which was from Philemon. And a really beautiful reading here. And it's just one page in Scripture, but I do want to read what the Douay Rheims says about this reading, because it's really about discipleship, this deep discipleship, and how Paul himself, you know, dedicates himself fully to the Lord. And do I dedicate myself fully, you know, or like we talked about earlier, or do I dedicate myself fully to my own thinking, right, to what I think, and just my little community thinks, what just my friends think, and that's how I apply Jesus, or that's how I apply God in my life, is just within this small group of people. My brothers and sisters, God encompasses everyone. Jesus talked to everyone. Jesus communicated, never cutting off communication. Never cutting off communication to anyone. So let's read from this the epistle of St. Paul to Philemon. Philemon was a noble citizen of Colossae, and a servant named Onesimus, one who robbed him and fled to Rome, where he met St. Paul, who was a prisoner for the first time. The apostle took compassion on him and received him with tenderness and converted him to the faith, for he was a Gentile before. St. Paul sends him back to his master with this epistle in his hand, in his favor, and though he beseeched Philemon to pardon him, yet the apostle writes with becoming dignity and authority. It contains diverse profitable instructions and points out the charity and humanity that masters should have for all their servants. And so we all have people who are under us in a certain kind of way. You know, people who we associate with, people who we're in business with, people who we work with, people who we need to be tender with, loving with. You know, and Paul points this out, that to take a new outlook on the world, to take a new outlook on one another, to look at people as God's children, that we're all God's children. You know, I want to take a little detour here because I want us to look at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa is going to be canonized as saint tonight, 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? And it's going to be on EWTN, so you can go to EWTN.com or you can look it up on the TV, and I, you know, TiVo that and tape that. You know, I also have the three stripes of this, of the Sisters of Charity on my stoles, on all my stoles that I wear at Mass. And I think about, you know, Mother Teresa quite often. But you look at her, and just this beautiful Catholic woman, this little woman, this little short person who has, in a really beautiful and a big way, changed the world. See? Everybody didn't agree with her. There were a lot of people who didn't like her. There were a lot of people who hated her, you know, very sadly to say. But think about all the beauty that she did. And she was always a small eye. She was never idolatrous towards herself. She didn't idolize herself. She worshiped God. But she also respected people of other religions or no religion at all. But she always preached the gospel. She always preached about life, to always choose life and not death. She was always very pro-life. She was always very connected with the reality of humanity, okay, and that these people needed health. So it was a very successful career as a religious. And that's what a big part of these readings are about today, too, is to think about that. You know, if you've ever thought about becoming like Mother Teresa, if you ever thought about becoming a Catholic priest or a deacon, you know, there's a great need in this world. You look around the things that are happening in this world. There's a great need to move beyond this world of just cars and houses and money and power, and really to start to look at the things that really matter, which is life, human life, and what impact am I going to make upon the world to change things. You know, I know that the poor will always be with us. It says that in Scripture, but, you know, 20,000 people plus today will die of starvation. That happens every day in this world. And yet our grocery stores are full of food. You know, the government has warehouses full of cheese that they can't get rid of. And yet, this is the state of our world today. I know the poor will always be with us. I know these things will always be with us. But our job is to try to lessen that, to try to lessen this this pain that goes on to the world. So let's go on to the gospel. And I want us to keep thinking about I, you know, am I a big I, you know, like the I beam, capital I, it's all about me, I'm it. Or am I a little I, you know, just a line with a dot on the top. Kind of like to look at the dot as maybe God. I'm the line, God's the dot. And I look up to that, see? I look up to that. That's what's going to help me. But we look at the gospel, and there's really, you know, the catechism has only got two teachings on this, which is, it's worth giving our entire life to God. See? Our entire life to God. Being devoted entirely to God, like Mother Teresa, like Saint Juniper Serra, who was out in California, who established all those missions, you know, all the 22 missions all up and down the seacoast of California. And very interestingly enough, you know, all these people were very short people too. They were not big in stature. They were small people, but they were great people. They were giants. They were giants of their time, and they're giants of this time. And they're giants for eternity. But they were just small people. They were non-threatening people. They were people of peace. You know? But even giving of themselves, you know, this thing that we talk about today that we should talk about more often is purity, you know. This purity, to give yourselves fully, you know, like Paul, like Jesus, those who have gone on before us. This is why priests don't marry generally, you know. They do not get married. They devote themselves completely to their flock, just as Jesus did. Jesus didn't get married. That's one of the main reasons why priests don't get married, because Jesus didn't get married. It's that simple. Yes, indeed. It is that simple. So we think about that, you know, do I give myself? And then they fully become disciples. They fully become these disciples. And so the catechism also says, for his sake, that the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, this total commitment. This total commitment. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. And sometimes those possessions are your very self. You know, you give up that I, that capital I. It's all about me, right? And you devote yourself completely to God, as the Apostle Paul did, right? As St. Juniper Sera did, as Mother Teresa did. And so, again, as a kind of another reminder before we end, if you ever want to listen to more radio or things, Catholic radio, there's 91.5 in Kalamazoo, there's 89.7 FM Battle Creek. The 91.5 is also FM Battle Creek, and in Grand Rapids, AM 1140. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and this is the Epiphany Radio Program. We're going to wrap up here in just a minute, and I just want to thank, you know, everyone for listening. You know, this ministry, this radio ministry, is really designed to help people to come back to the church, to help people to connect. Maybe you can't get to Mass. You know, to call one of the churches. If you're Catholic and you want to receive the Eucharist, you want to receive reconciliation, and you're homebound, please call the Catholic parish near you, and someone will come to visit. And we want to take care of you. We want to minister to you to be able to help you in all things. Or if, you know, any relatives or anything like that, that there's any way that we can help you and serve you. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. So this is really an outreach. So as we go through this week, let us think about this, about my discipleship, my level of discipleship, and what kind of a disciple am I for Jesus Christ? Am I willing to give away that I, that self-centeredness part that's inside of me, so that I can become a helper for St. Paul, right? And I can have this and gain this wisdom from God, and God will give me this wisdom to help me in his ministry to bring people to Jesus Christ, to bring people to this peace and this love that Jesus Christ brings to all. And that I can minister to anyone. You know, I can minister to the believer and the unbeliever. And I really believe that, you know, in this culture and in the day that we live today, there are so many people who are afraid. So many people who are afraid to get married. You know, they want to wait. They want to wait until they're 30 or 40 years old to get married. They're afraid to have children. They're afraid to start a family. My brothers and sisters, this is the dark side saying these things to us. You know, live your life and do not be afraid. Come back to the church. See what God has to give you. You know, the world wants to give you fear. The church wants to give you faith and love and courage and the tools for you to be able to live a good and happy life. I thank you for being with us today on the Epiphany Radio Program, and may God richly bless you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you, and we hope to see you next week.